After the explosive violence of Django Unchained and the uncompromising intensity of last year's hit 12 Years a Slave, you might think you have seen all you care to for the moment of films about slavery and the slave era. But now comes a very different type of film that just might change your mind. Belle is based on the true story of Dido Elizabeth Belle, the illegitimate daughter of a captain in the Royal Navy and an enslaved African woman. As a child, her father entrusts her to his uncle, the Lord Chief Justice and one of the most powerful men in the country.
I beg you, uncle, love her as I would were I here, and ensure that she is in receipt of all that is due to her as a child of mine.
That is simply impossible.
What is right can never be impossible.
She is black.
She is my blood.
But she is black.
A detail you chose not to share with us.
Gugu Mbatha-Raw plays the grown-up Dido, and she's been praised for capturing the contradictions of being both aristocratic and scorned, white and black, at a time when Britain was questioning the morality of the slave trade. And she is with us now to tell us more about the role. Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on all.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So is this one that you wanted to do, or is this one that you had to be persuaded to do?
Oh my gosh, there was no persuasion necessary. This was definitely a role that I've known about for quite a long time, and I was so happy to be able to bring Dido's story to the screen.
You know, the whole genesis of the story is interesting in and of itself. Mm-hmm. It's inspired by a portrait of Dido and her cousin,
yes,
Elizabeth, that was commissioned by her uncle, the Earl of Mansfield, who was a leading opponent of slavery. And for years, people have looked at this portrait and debated what the relationships were and the quality between them and the obvious, you know, affection between them, and kind of thought about what it meant. And so now to have it sort of come to life, what is it that attracted you to it?
Oh, so many things. For me, you know, I first saw a postcard of the painting several years ago when I initially met the producer Damien Jones for a completely different project. And he told me about Dido, and I'd never heard of her. And I just thought this was crazy. I was like, wow, as a biracial woman, you know, in the 21st century, not to know that this girl really existed. And once I saw this dual portrait of Dido on the one hand and her cousin Elizabeth on the other, and how much affection you see, you know, between the two of them. And also Dido, you know, having for the period this very, very vivacious facial expression and bright-eyed look directly out to the viewer. I thought it was so intriguing to know that she was a real girl that existed at that time. It really inspired my imagination and the filmmakers too.
Well, it's set in a world that is familiar to people who are fans of Jane Austen and also people who are fans of period dramas. I wondered, as a young actress coming along, did you ever think that you would have a role in a period drama set in this era? Was that even something that was part of your mind, you know, when you were thinking about your career?
Yeah, it's funny because I absolutely was brought up, you know, on those Jane Austen adaptations. You know, the Pride and Prejudice with Colin Firth and Jennifer Ely was something I watched on a weekly basis with my mum at home in Oxfordshire growing up. And I think to me, it's weird because like Dido, I sort of thought, well, why can't I be? Why can't I be in something like this? Not really understanding how the world works and how historically these period adaptations do not showcase a mixed race heroine in the lead. And as I say, it wasn't until I sort of went through my RADA training and saw so many of my peers going off to do the Downton Abbeys of this world and Dickens and Austen adaptations, and just realizing that I was never getting the call from my agent to audition for those.
No,
those
seriously,
shows.
But talk about it. I mean, we're speaking about it in a very lighthearted way, but just let's talk about that. You have trained as well as anyone of your generation and in the same way as your peers. And
absolutely,
I want to know what that's like to sort of reach a point where that's a whole path for British actors and actresses, you know, and even Americans get in on it from time to time, right? And to sort of have that talk with yourself. I mean, it seems like the kind of talk that Martin Luther King talked about, where having to have the talk with your children about the things that they could not do. I mean, I wonder what that was like. I mean, did you even think about
it? I never really conceived that it was something I could not do. Mm-hmm. I guess I always felt like people weren't ready for it yet. But I never actually doubted that it wasn't something that ultimately, eventually was going to be a possibility for me. I actually genuinely never doubted it. I think I always felt like everybody had to catch up. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way at all. I just mean that, you know, coming from a Shakespearean tradition and you know, having done all these roles like Juliet and Ophelia on stage and feeling incredibly well prepared for it, I definitely just thought it was a matter of time and having the pieces to fit together.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Gugu Mbatha-Raw, star of the film Belle. Well, speaking of that whole question of what one can and cannot do is very central, right, to the story in a way that is subtle isn't right at all. But it's that it does provide such a contrast to the other things that we have been seeing. I think that people are grateful to see about that era. But just the day-to-dayness of it is something that this brings vividly forward. I just want to play a short clip. I mean, this is a clip of you speaking to your potential love interest, played by Sam Reed. His name is John Devinier in the film, and he's the son of a clergyman. And here it is.
Permit me to ask, why do you not dine with your family ever?
That is not correct.
Well, forgive me, but twice now I have seen you separated from the gathering. I am confounded.
And well you might be when the son of clergy is permitted to the table before a lady of the house.
Is that a reminder of my place, Miss Lindsay?
No. It is a statement of mine.
Amplify this a bit, if you would. Describe what the situation.
In that scene, Dido, you know, she's brought up and she's unlike, you know, many depictions of women of color that we have seen in film to date. She is a woman of privilege, a woman of status. But the ambiguity of her position is that there are certain rules, it's social convention, if you will, dictates that she's not allowed to completely be treated equally in the household. So when guests come for dinner, she's too high to dine with the servants, but too low to dine with the family. And it's this ambiguous position, which, you know, when we enter the film is Dido's coming of age, that she's really questioning, hang on a minute, why am I not allowed these equalities? And we do really deal with the nuances of racism and equality in high society. It's not a quote-unquote slave movie. There are no slaves in the movie, even though Dido's mother is a slave. We're dealing with the society that benefited from the slave trade. And in a strange way, that genteel aristocratic world, you know, that brushes under the rug the ugliness of what they're really, you know, capitalizing on. And Dido is somewhat caught in the middle and having to find her true self within it and really be centered in a strong sense of self as she's kind of pulled in different directions.
The other thing the film does, it forces people to think about things that are underneath the veneer of gentility and, you know, the beauty and, you know, the costumes and stuff, what really supports all that. But the other comment that it makes is about what it does mean to have power and who has it and who really doesn't have it. And anybody who's a fan of stories from this era recognizes the importance of marriage to the future of young women. I mean, this is a central theme in so much literature. Dido's father left her an inheritance, so technically she doesn't have to get married to survive economically. So here's a clip of Dido's cousin, Elizabeth, who's played by Sarah Godin, and she's pointing out their different fortunes, even though technically Elizabeth is better off, let's say. Here it is.
Aren't you quietly relieved that you shan't be at the caprice of some silly sir and his fortune? The rest of us haven't the choice. Not a chance of inheritance if we have brothers, and forbidden from any activity that allows us to support ourselves. We are but their property.
Well, what about that? How does that strike you? Interesting,
yeah,
isn't it?
And it really is fascinating because, you know, obviously the marriage market was very aggressive at that period. And you have the issue of gender and the woman's role in society. And the fact that Dido is in this unique position in a way that she has this inheritance. She can actually marry for love, which you know, never happened. These marriages were political alliances within families at the time. And you had to secure your fortune and your bread and butter, and Dido doesn't need that, but at the same time she's also exoticized by men in her society. People don't really know how to respond to her, and she still has to deal with being a human being at the end of it all and being comfortable with herself. And I think, you know, one of the most inspiring messages about the film is it does start within, and she goes on this massive journey to become a woman who has the courage to stand up for who she is and what she believes in.
What do you think this film does? Many people are making the comparison to 12 Years a Slave, and this film is so different in the way it feels and moves and so forth, but there is that that uncomfortableness of telling the truth. I mean, obviously, one of the things that 12 Years a Slave did was bring the brutality of it home. I mean, I don't, you weren't raised in this country, but I can tell you that a lot of people in this country like this idea of slavery, of being sort of like sort of a sweaty form of employment, you know, just like people were like, just like a member of the family. You know, people love that story, right? And so one of the things that 12 Years a Slave did is tell you what it is like to be owned. What do you think this film does?
Well, as 12 Years a Slave so powerfully depicted the experience of being a slave in America, what Bell can bring to the table is the fact that it's from the British perspective, and not only the British perspective, but from a woman's perspective, and not just a woman's perspective, but a woman of mixed heritage whose mother was a slave, whose father was in the aristocracy. So the layers of complexity are very different. And I think, you know, it's a voice that really hasn't been heard before. I think a lot of people assume that slavery is something that just went on in America, but actually to understand this whole system that was masterminded and the laws that actually allowed slavery to take place. So, you know, it's the whole balance of the world in which slavery existed and the world in which people, you know, benefited from it but pretended that it wasn't part of their society.
Do you mind if I point out that your father is South African and your mom is English?
And, yes, that's right.
Was there any part of the story that kind of particularly touched you, given your own history? I don't know, knowing nothing of you, of how you were raised and how you even talked about thought about race as a child. Is there any part of the story that kind of resonated with you that you wouldn't mind sharing?
Yeah, on many levels. I mean, for me, I have to say, I think I was very fortunate growing up in a rural town in West Oxfordshire. I was certainly in the minority, but I never felt discriminated against. I felt protected and free to be myself. And, you know, I certainly relate to the character on many levels. As I say, obviously being biracial myself, you know, I'm biracial every day, even though not every character that I play specifically deals with the themes of being biracial and being of mixed heritage. But for me, I really related to where Dido ends up at the end of the film, which is to me what I aspire to as not just an actress, but as a human being, in that, you know, you have to try and follow your instincts and, you know, not let society dictate who you should be. Do you have to accept these labels or can you challenge them and be your true self? And that's something on a personal level that I strive to achieve in my work and in my life.
Gugu Mbatha-Raw is the star of the film Belle, which is in theaters across the country now. She was kind enough to join us from NPR West, which is in Culver City, California. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.